Blog Talk Radio.
As a parent, your child's safety is your top priority. Protect Your Children understands. That's why they provide a wide range of free online resources, including in-depth protection guidelines, zip code predator searches, video tutorials, and more to help you protect your children from predators online and off. Don't leave anything to chance. The resources you need to keep your children safe are easily available and they're free. Visit protectyourchildren.org to find the tools you need to protect your kids. That's protectyourchildren.org.
All right, welcome to the Protect Your Children radio show with your host, Christopher Gelson. I'm the director and lead teacher of Protect Your Children, Inc. The website is protectyourchildren.org, protectyourchildren.org. We are also on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and those links can be found on the homepage of our website, protectyourchildren.org. We want to thank you all for being here, and we want to thank everybody who's been sharing and liking and retweeting. You guys are passionate protectors out there. And you guys are really doing a fantastic job on social media. We're getting the word out. We're getting tons of comments. We're getting lots of retweets, lots of shares, and it's increasing every week. So we just want to say a big thank you to everybody who's out there doing that. You guys are committed. And, of course, without your commitment, we couldn't do what we do. So we're very thankful for that. We also want to mention that we are a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. So if you feel led to help out in any way financially, we can certainly use your assistance on that, as we only rely on donations from passionate protectors. We do not have grant funding right now, and we don't have corporate sponsors right now, and we're working on all that stuff. But right now, we are solely supported by your donations. So if you can help out in any way, please visit our website, protectyourchildren.org, and click on the Donate tab. And, of course, a tax-deductible receipt will be sent to you. Our mission is to protect children from molestation and kidnapping with the tools of education and awareness. We will accomplish this mission by providing free and not-for-profit, low-cost services to anyone who wants to protect children, regardless of race, creed, color, sex, religion, or politics. Yes, we had to add the politics in there. We will work as a team with other not-for-profit organizations to accomplish this mission. We want to tell you that if you have or if you know of a not-for-profit organization that is protecting children, please let us know via our website or on Facebook or Twitter, because we'd like to highlight their work. In fact, tonight, we will be highlighting one of those great organizations. And they are BACA, which is the Bikers Against Child Abuse. They are worldwide. They have chapters all over the country and in the world. And we're very excited to have them on the show later today. They will be calling in around 8:15 p.m. Eastern Time. So please stay tuned for a great interview with Bootstrap and Mama Bear. No, that's not a cartoon, Bootstrap and Mama Bear. These are actual members of the Ohio, Erie Shores, Ohio chapter of BACA, and we're excited to have them be part of the show. And we like to highlight other organizations because we have to work together as a team. There are so many great organizations out there that are doing fantastic work protecting children. And if we can somehow work together as a team, share each other's websites, share each other's information, share each other's posts, we're going to reach tons more people. And that's what our goal is, to educate and spread awareness through the avenues that we are able to do so. So we like to work together with other organizations to help get them promoted, and they can also in return help promote us. And working together, we will protect more and more children. That's part of our mission, and that is what we strive to do. So tonight we do have a great show. Like I mentioned, BACA will be joining us a little bit later. We have a very important warning for parents about some new technology that Apple is coming out with. And this could really jeopardize your children. And so we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And also, we have a missing child segment. We are seeing an increasing amount of Amber Alerts going out for children, especially in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And it's quite disturbing of how many kids are turning up missing. And there is definitely human trafficking going on. There is some custodial things going on. There are runaways, and there are some kids that are just straight up disappearing, like out of middle school. And there's like no further information on them. And that is just scary. And parents, you really have to have tabs on where your kids are at all times as much as you can. So we're going to have a missing child segment coming up in a little bit. Also, we have a very brave 7-year-old hero kid. As you know, each week we have a hero kid segment, and we like to highlight kids that have gone above and beyond and showed bravery, showed courage, and even have not even thought about themselves, but only thought about others. And they have risen above troubled times, and they've done great work. And we want to highlight a child every week so that they can get the recognition that they deserve. So if you have a hero child, or if you know of a hero child, someone in that area, please let us know via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Again, the website is protectyourchildren.org. If you want to call on the show tonight, you can do that, 563-999-3645, 563-999-3645. We will be taking your calls a little bit later in the show. And also, the chat room is open. Yes, we have a live chat room open right now, and you can jump in there and share your comments and thoughts with other listeners. So let's get into, oh, and we can't forget about Talking with Topher. Talking with Topher, yes, the animated Talking with Topher series. Kids love Topher. We're hearing feedback about Topher, and we're excited about that. And for those of you who don't know, Topher is he's now 10. He just had a birthday, okay? So he's 10 years old, and he is going through life learning how to recognize predators, and he is learning along the way, and he's being taught by Chris. So Talking with Topher is every week, and we will have episode 16 coming up a little bit later tonight. And let's just say that Topher got a very interesting present for his birthday. And it seems to be not what he expected. Yeah, so we're going to see what that's all about with Talking with Topher. So our missing child segment for tonight. Now, in the past 10 days, Amber Alerts have gone out for 7 missing kids. That's just in the past 10 days, 7 missing kids. This is quite disturbing. And people would say, well, how do you pick a child to highlight every week? You know, there's really nothing that goes into it. We visit the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. We follow a whole bunch of other organizations. And as they're posted, we try to bring them to you. In fact, in the slideshow, in the player right now on our radio show page here, you will see the pictures of these kids that are missing. We have Jasmine Martinez. She is 17 years old. She's been missing since April 9th of this year from Ukiah, California. She is biracial. She has brown hair, hazel eyes. She's 5'6", weighs 130 pounds. And all the information is that she may travel to San Diego, California, and she may wear extensions or wigs to hide her appearance. Please look at her face. Search up her name. See if there's any information that might trigger a tip. Share the information on your social media pages. And the numbers there are listed for the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office, or you can dial 1-800-THE-LOST. Also, Drew Atha, A-T-H-A, missing since April 14th, 2021, from Draper, Utah. 16 years old. He's male. He's white. Brown hair, brown eyes, 6 foot tall, weighing 165 pounds. You can contact the Draper Police Department in Utah or 1-800-THE-LOST. His picture as well is in the player. And we have 4 different children missing from Lincoln, Nebraska. Devin Phillips Mills Lonnie Lone Wolf, McKenna Graves, and Devin Shaw, Lincoln, Nebraska, and Omaha, Nebraska. 1-800-THE-LOST, if you see them, take a look at their pictures, please. And, of course, we have Jeff Purcell. He was last seen on March 9th in Happy Valley, Oregon. He may be in the company of his mother, Sandra Figueroa. He has black hair, brown eyes. He's 4 foot tall and weighs 60 pounds. Now, you'd say, well, you know, I'm just mentioning names, right? You guys have to do the work out there. We're asking you to go to Google, put in their names. We're asking you to visit the National Center for Exploited and Missing Children website. Also, you can go to our website and click on the Missing Children by State, Missing Children by State, and you will see a list of all the kids that are missing currently from your state that have been reported. And you can take that link from the website and share that on your social media, and that will also raise awareness of their cases. So please take a moment to do that. We have to help bring these kids home, and the best way to do that is to get their pictures out all over the place. There's a better chance that people will notice them, obviously, if more and more people see their faces. I ask you to forgive me if I get a little scratchy throat tonight. I've been dealing with a little bit of a throat issue the last couple days, but it seems to be passing along. So forgive me if it gets a little scratchy. I'll take a sip of my ice-cold Mountain Dew here. No, we're not sponsoring Mountain Dew, but it is an addiction. All right, our news segment for tonight. There's a new technology from Apple called AirTag. Sounds like a fun game, right? AirTag. It is about the size of a quarter, and it contains all of your personal information, including your social media links and any other information that you would like to put on this device. This article from Mashable says on Tuesday, Apple announced a slew of new products at its spring-loaded event. One of those products, AirTags, is a tiny disc that allows for the easy tracking of objects, or as Apple hints at and its AirTags press release, unwilling people. Interesting that Apple's trying to say, yeah, unwilling people can be tracked with this thing too. So the idea is that you put this on your phone, and then you can Bluetooth connect it to other devices. And of course, the idea is that, well, if you lose your keys or if you lose something, you know, you'll be able to find them quicker with this, you know. But that's a small issue because the promo that they put out for this thing. And well, let's just say it shows a range of uses. It shows that adults can be professionals, right? And they can say, I'm selling a house, and somebody comes by and they say, hey, let me get the information about this house that you saw. And the real estate agent says, oh, hold on a minute here. Just beep, just put your phone right up to mine for a second, and there you'll have all the information. No problem. That's easy, right? They also show that you can use it for dating. Girl sees a hot guy, and it's like, hey, she just puts her phone up, and he just puts his phone near hers, and boop, he's got her personal information just like that. How convenient, right? Says the basic idea behind AirTags is straightforward enough. People frequently misplace small but important items like keys or wallets, and an attached Bluetooth device that relays its location back to a linked iPhone makes it easy to locate those items if they've gone missing. Okay. Combined with Apple's Find My app and a network of other Find My users scattered across the city, AirTag owners can track down their lost keys even if they're not within immediate Bluetooth range. All right, so far so good. Kind of like that idea. If you ever lost your keys, you know how crazy that can be. Goes on to say, if AirTag is separated from its owner and out of Bluetooth range, the Find My network can help track it down, reads the press release. The Find My network is approaching a billion Apple devices. Think about that for a second. A billion Apple devices and can detect Bluetooth signals from a lost AirTag and relay the location back to its owner, all in the background, anonymously and privately. So it claims. Now, the tiny tracking fobs might be used whether by stalkers, child predators, or abusive partners, to keep tabs on unwitting victims. And this is a real concern. It also appears to be one which Apple has given at least some consideration to. Well, I would hope so. Apple said if a user or even a stalker detects an unknown AirTag, they can tap it. Oh, this is great, right? They can tap it within 5 inches. They got to get within 5 inches of it with their iPhone or Android NFC-capable device. Okay, NFC, everybody's got that on their phone. It's the near-field communication. And a website opens up that shows the owner information and the serial number of the AirTag, explains the press release. Isn't that just wonderful? So let's just focus on the kids for a minute. So the kids are all at school, or the kids are at, you know, a trampoline park, or they're at a theme park or whatever, and all somebody has to do with their NFC-enabled Android or iPhone is just stand next to them for like a go near the child. And if the child's got one of these AirTags on their phone, guess what? It'll connect to that predator's phone, and it'll open up with the child's personal information, their social media accounts. Sure, nothing can go wrong here. Now, Apple says that they know the tag can be used to track people, but that is not their purpose. Of course, it never is. The commercial promo release shows professional adults and adults looking to hook up, placing the tag on their phone and directing people to scan it with their NFC and therefore have all the business or personal information. Now, we actually have already heard from middle school kids, and they say how cool it would be to have this, so they can give out their social media accounts easily to kids at school and in their neighborhood. See, the kids right now, they have to say, oh, find me on Instagram at, you know, Protect Your Children, Inc. Well, I guess that's too much, you know. So the kids just want somebody to be able to go, oh, there it is. Look, and I can follow you. That's just great for a predator, right? Can you already see the dangers in this, parents, guardians, passionate protectors? Of course, we are against this for the obvious tracking reasons, but also because currently there is no way to secure the AirTag so that child predators and other evil people can't just walk by a kid with their phone in their hand and scan the AirTag and find out the personal information and social media accounts of a child. Parents, guardians, passionate protectors, research this carefully before you just go and get them for your child or for your children or even for yourself. And this is becoming a huge problem. Why Apple wants to do this? All right, that's up for debate. Are they really just trying to help you find the lost keys, you know? Or are they trying to track individuals? Well, let's not get conspiratorial here, but certainly everybody's being tracked already. Your kids are being tracked through social media. And there's not much more to say about that. That's for another show. We might do a show on that in the future. But this is, this is the new thing. It's called AirTag, and the kids apparently are already excited about it, but we would warn you to not get this, not let your kids have this, because kids leave their phones down, even if it's in their pocket. All someone has to do is walk close enough to them. Gosh, I see this thing where somebody could accidentally bump into your kid, right? The phone's in their back pocket, and they just actually accidentally bump into them, and whoop, oh, sorry, excuse me, oh, okay, no problem. But in that whoop, their NFC scanned that AirTag and got their personal information. This could be extremely dangerous for kids. Let that sink in. And please, don't buy an AirTag for your children and even adults. I mean, you got to think about that. People that have exes that want to track where, you know, their ex is at, you know, anybody that's had a domestic situation, if they've got one of these, somebody can track them using it. And, you know, child predators. It's just not a good idea. And it's really shocking that currently there is no way to secure it, which I would think Apple could do. I mean, if it's really for a professional type situation, can you just say, all right, here, scan this and type in the word bleh, you know? But apparently that's not the case right now. Yes, AirTag by Apple. Coming to a predator near you. Be on the lookout for it. What do? We are in a constant fight with technology. If it's not TikTok, and if you guys follow us on Facebook or Twitter, you would see that we posted an article yesterday about TikTok. They are being sued in London for like $1 billion for invading the privacy of children. And this is not the first time that we've seen this. Now, we know from the previous administration's complaints about China and ByteDance, and they're storing up information on your kids, storing their videos that they like, and who knows why they're doing it, but they're putting together a nice database filled with all this information. And the same thing with Pokemon Go when that came out. By the way, a little side note. Pokemon Go, and again, this isn't a conspiratorial thing, but I'm trying to make the point. Pokemon Go was created by Niantic Labs. Now, if you look and see who Niantic Labs is, they are a subsidiary of the Keyhole Corporation. Okay, who's the Keyhole Corporation? Well, everybody knows from the old movies, keyholes are what you use to spy through the doors of people right back in the old days. The Keyhole Corporation is the technology arm of the CIA. So they create Pokemon Go. And they push it out to the kids, and the kids are all excited about it. They don't read the disclaimers. They just accept everything. Yes, you can record video. Yes, you can access my camera. Yes, you can access my location. And everywhere that the kids are walking around catching Pokemon, right, the app is keeping that information. It's keeping those images. So unwittingly, the kids have given access inside their homes, inside their schools, in their backyards, wherever they go, right? And this is the problem with technology. It can be helpful or it can put kids at a great risk. And something that we realized a little while ago is, who's the main character of Pokemon, right? Pikachu. Well, if you slow that name down, Peek-at-you, Pikachu. Coincidence? We don't know. Pikachu. But in any case, the technology is making the job of protecting kids a lot more difficult. And parents, you really have to be on top of things. You've really got to be nosy. You've got to be in your kids' phones. They shouldn't have passwords that you don't know. There's no reason for that. You need to know where they're at all times. Oh, that's old-fashioned. That's old-fashioned, you'd say. That's old-fashioned. Well, you know, they're going to Johnny's house. Well, that's great. Well, if they leave Johnny's house, shouldn't you know where they're going? Or you just figure, no, they're at Johnny's house. And then 4 hours later, you just check in. Hey, how you guys doing? And they text you back. Oh, we're doing good. Where'd they go for 4 hours? Who else were they around? What were they doing? Parents have to keep an eye on this type of stuff. Yeah. All right. Let's jump right into our Hero Kids segment tonight. This is a brave 7-year-old. Now, I'll tell you what, this 7-year-old, and now this audio you're going to hear is kind of old, but we still think it's relevant for today. Because, and one thing that Topher is learning, we're talking with Topher coming up in a little bit, Topher is learning to be brave and to do the right thing. And sometimes, actually a lot of times, doing the right thing takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of bravery. And a child knowing what to do in a dangerous situation can save their life. And as we're going to hear in this audio, can save other people's lives as well. This little boy is 7 years old, and he knew exactly what to do in the situation. You're going to hear a 911 call that the 7-year-old placed, and it is chilling. It gives you goosebumps to listen to it. But we're going to see how it turned out. It was a happy ending. So let's listen to this Hero Kids segment, and we'll be right back just after a few minutes.
Yesterday morning, the burglars had stormed into the family's Norwalk home through an open door. They were armed, and Carlos immediately hid in a bathroom with his younger sister while the gunman threatened his parents, and it was from that bathroom that that 7-year-old placed the 911 call.
911, state your emergency.
There's some guys who are going to kill my mom and dad. Can you come?
How old are you?
Can you come really fast? Please,
tell me. Can you tell me what happened?
They ring the door and they have guns. They shoot my mom and dad.
Right now?
Yeah. Can you come really fast? Bring some cops.
I have them coming, hon. Listen, okay?
Okay.
Listen to me. Take a deep breath. How old are you?
7 years old.
Where are you at in the house?
Inside the bathroom.
You're in the bathroom? Who's yes. with you?
It's my sister.
How old is she?
6 years old. Can you come really fast? Hurry up.
Yes, stay on the line with me. Don't hang up.
Okay.
Tell me exactly what happened, okay? Just stay where you are and don't hang up, whatever
okay.
you do.
Okay. They bring the guy. They have a...
Tell us what the bad guys look like.
They were having, like, one of them were having just a jacket, and they both have guns. Well, but there was three of them. One was outside waiting for the other guy. The car was green.
When I hear the voices and hear the screaming, I mean, instantly, my first reaction is, they found the kids. They found the kids because their initial run through was to hide and him to get his little sister safe. So, sorry, I'm choked up.
And thankfully, no one was hurt in this incident. Authorities are still looking for those three suspects, and they were last seen driving away from the home yesterday in a gray or green two-door Acura RXS. Now, anyone with information is asked to contact the Sheriff's Department at this number on your screen. It's 1-800-222-TIPS. Now, little Carlos says he actually learned how to dial 911 from his mother. He says they practice it every day, and the screaming that you heard at the end of the tape, he says, was his sister. The gunman had apparently burst into the bathroom where they were hiding. One of them asked him who he was on the phone with. He said 911, and that's when they immediately took off. So very brave little boy, and he says that he actually was scared a little bit, but otherwise he was just fine.
Now you got to ask yourself, 7 years old, and he knew exactly what to do. He got into the bathroom, took his little sister in there, called 911, stayed on the line, stayed relatively calm for seven. I mean, two guys break in with guns to rob these parents, rob the house. And this little boy is definitely a hero. He was brave. He stayed calm. He stayed focused. And the 911 operator, my goodness, I couldn't even imagine being in a situation like that. Just listening to that call, well, that had my heart racing and some tears welling up, because that would be as scary as anything. But this shows the importance of teaching your kids on what to do if, God forbid, something happens, and also to keep a very close eye on your child's whereabouts at all times. Of course, kids know to dial 911, but the importance of staying calm, taking deep breaths, listening to the 911 operator, giving her the facts or he the facts, just as they need, and getting into a safe place. This is all good things to go over with your kids. And it's not something you have to drill in their head every day so they're scared to, like, even go outside the house. But it's something that every parent, guardian, and passionate protector should be going over with their kids or their grandkids. They need to know what to do if something, God forbid, would happen. And it sounds like the parents did teach this 7-year-old on what to do. He did it well. And when the intruders found out that he was on the phone with 911, he told them, I'm on the phone with 911. They ran, they took off, and everybody ended up being safe. So that is our hero kid for this week. And as we mentioned, if you have a hero kid, and we're talking, it doesn't have to be a kid who saves you from burglars, but is your child someone who's gone through a really rough time in life and has been making it through and making it past rough times, and they've come out on the other side, and they're doing well now And we want to hear those stories. Those are all stories that can encourage other kids and encourage parents out there who might have kids that are going through a really rough patch right now. They can make it through. They can make it through with the right support. They can make it through. And we want to hear those stories. So if you have a story like that, please send it to us, protectyourchildren.org, or on Facebook or Twitter, and we will definitely get that story on the air. We're going to take top of the hour break right now. This is the Protect Your Children radio show with your host, Christopher Gelson. The call-in number is 563-999-3645. 563-999-3645. When we come back from the break, we'll have Talking with Topher, episode 16. And then Bikers Against Child Abuse will be calling in around 8:15. So we hope you'll stay tuned for that. And we will be right back after this commercial break. Don't go anywhere.
Imagine the world as a bully-free place where kids could be themselves without all the judgment, where students wouldn't laugh at each other, and kids would stop being bystanders and stick up for one another, where cyberbullying isn't a thing. Imagine a world where there was a change, where kids can feel accepted, and where bullying wasn't a thing. Stop bullying and be the change you want to see in the world.
We do everything we can to protect our kids. When 1 in 9,800 children drown and 1 in 360 suffer a bike injury, it's only natural to do what we can to prevent anything bad from happening. But did you know that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 5 boys is sexually abused before the age of 18? Like wearing a helmet, prevention through education is the most important thing we can do to protect our children.
Welcome back to the Protect Your Children radio show with your host, Christopher Gelson. I am the director and lead teacher of Protect Your Children, Inc. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization that provides education and awareness to parents and kids on how to be safe from predators online and offline. We encourage you to visit our website, protectyourchildren.org, and take advantage of all the resources that we have there. There is lots and lots of protection information available on our website and on our YouTube and our Twitter and our Facebook. So if you have not followed us on Facebook or Twitter, please do so. And those links are on our homepage, protectyourchildren.org. It's time for Talking with Topher, episode 16. Talking with Topher, we do this for the kids. You know, we wanted to find a kind of a cartoonish, funny way for kids to learn how to be safe from predators. So Topher's been on a journey now for, this will be now episode 16, and he has been encountering lots of different situations with predators, and he is learning through his parents and through Chris on how to recognize a predator and how to be safe from the predator, and what to do if approached by a predator. So we've got kids that have been following Topher since episode 1, And so we get this out every week live every Thursday night, and then we also upload it to our website and our YouTube channel and Facebook as well. So if you've missed any of the episodes of Talking with Topher, grab the kids and binge. You can binge listen to Talking with Topher. Just there's a playlist on YouTube. Go right from 1 through 16, and your kids are going to have like a crash course on how to be safe from predators. So please do that. We want to welcome Cat297 to the chat room. We're glad that you are here. So let's get right into Talking with Topher, episode 16. And when we come back, we're going to have Bikers Against Child Sexual Abuse. So let's bring on Topher. Hey, Topher.
Oh, Chris, thank you for helping with my birthday problem. That was so fun.
Oh, you're welcome, Topher. So what are some of the gifts that you got?
Well, I got a basketball, a remote control car, mobile, the game I got from Lou, and my grandma got me clothes as usual.
Yeah, grandparents always like to give clothes, and, you know, you have to wear them the next time you see them.
Oh, no, that's going to be terrible.
Well, I have a surprise for you, Topher. I have one more gift that I didn't have time to wrap it, though.
Well, well.
Check it out. It's supposed to be like an Alexa, but I think it's like a cheap version or something.
So can I talk to it and ask it questions and stuff?
Yep. It can play music and turn your lights on and off and things like that.
Cool. Let's get it set up.
All right. It should only take a minute since all we have to do is plug it in and connect it to Wi-Fi.
Well, what's the call?
Let's see here. It says that we have to say, hey, Lexia. Okay. Looks good. It's all hooked up. Do you want to try it first?
Okay. Alexa.
Hi. What is your name?
My name is Topher.
Hi, Topher. Nice to meet you. I am Lexia.
Wow, this is cool. Alexa, what time is it in Central Florida?
The time is 7:45 p.m. in Central Florida.
Hey, can I ask her something?
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Alexia, are you trying to be like Alexa?
I'm sorry. I don't know that person.
Hey, Alexa, tell me a joke.
Okay. What do you call a cow with no legs? Ground beef.
Wow, she is a boomer like me, huh?
What? Well, a boomer like you.
Hey, Topher, I got a question for her.
Okay.
Hey, Alexia, what is TikTok?
TikTok is a social media app that has no age or identity verification and encourages kids to dance to sexual music with lots of cursing.
Whoa!
Wow!
She is smart. Sounds like she knows how to warn kids about predators.
Wow, that's so cool! Alexa, what are some dangerous apps for kids that parents should know about?
Some apps that have no age verification and allow people to make duplicate accounts and do not verify identity are TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, Zoom, Tinder, Likee, and many others.
Wow, I am loving Lexia.
Me too!
Hey, Lexia, what are 5 warning signs of child sexual abuse?
Some of the warning signs are 1. A child feeling uncomfortable around a certain or many adults. 2. Sudden changes in mood and behavior. 3. A child being comfortable exposing themselves in front of others. 4. An adult that only wants to spend alone time with a child. 5. An adult that is telling sexual jokes or engaging in sexual talk with a child. Do you want to hear more?
No, that's good.
Okay.
Alexa, do you know where I live?
I don't know. You have to turn on tracking location services for me to know that.
Oh, no, Topher. We definitely don't want to do that.
No, whoa!
Hey, let me ask Lexia one more question before I have to go.
Okay.
Hey, Lexia, who are most likely to sexually abuse a child?
According to many studies, 90% of people that sexually abuse a child are family members or close friends of the family.
Wow!
Carl's so smart. So knows how to protect and observe. Yep, Lexi is pretty cool. Okay, I got to run, Tover. Enjoy Lexia and your other gifts.
Okay, bye-bye.
Wow, that Lexia is pretty smart. You know, Now, I wonder if Chris had anything to do with programming Lexia to teach Topher, but in any case, it certainly wasn't a surprise. Lexia is going to help Topher learn how to be safe from predators, and that was one of Topher's gifts that he got for his birthday, along with some other things. And if you missed his birthday, he had a surprise birthday party last week on last week's show, and it was pretty awesome. And I'll tell you, what Topher wished for before he blew out the candles will really shock you. So that is Talking with Topher, and those episodes are uploaded every week, as well as the podcast of this radio show. This podcast will be available within a couple of hours after it ends, and you can find that on protectyourchildren.org or on Facebook or YouTube. It'll be uploaded there. And in a few minutes, we are going to have Baca. You say, well, what's Baca? Who's Baca? Baca is the Bikers Against Child Abuse. They are a phenomenal organization that is doing a lot of great work to protect kids and help kids get through some really tough times. And we're going to hear all about Baca and the services they provide and a whole lot of information in just a few minutes. We are going to be hearing from Bootstrap and Mama Bear. Sounds like it could be another animated thing, right? Bootstrap and Mama Bear. But no, they're awesome people, and they love kids, and they love protecting kids. And they are from the Erie Shores, Ohio chapter of Baca. So we're excited to have them on in just a few minutes, and we hope that you'll stay tuned for that. I just heard from somebody that they were having problems listening on the computer, which not sure why, but they went to their phone, and they were able to hear us live. So if you're having an issue from the computer, click the link on your phone, and you should be good to go on that. So this is the Protect Your Children Radio Show. We do a live show every week. And also we want to tell you in a few minutes that we have here that every day there is a period of protection. It's our daily period of protection. It's a series of 3 or 4 minute videos. They go up every single day on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. And they are 3 or 4 minute video messages. It's audio and a little bit of video, and it just teaches some quick protection that you can kind of take with you throughout the day that you can share with your kids. And that is every single day. Yes, we put that out every single day for you so that you can keep your kids safe with a little bit more information. We want to tell you that our website has a whole host of resources. We have in-depth protection guidelines, and these aren't your one-liners, right? This isn't like, you know, careful the creepy guy down the road with the jacket. You know, those are the old ones, right? These guidelines will explain to you in detail the warning signs to look for, the signs of sexual abuse, how to spot a predator, a potential predator. It'll teach your kids on good talk, good touch, bad touch. And as you know, predators don't usually just come right out and, you know, say, hey, let me touch you. And it usually doesn't work that way. There is a grooming process that predators use to kind of test out the child a little bit, see if they can take advantage of them without getting caught. And the grooming process also is to try to build the child up for sexual activity. And in these guidelines, we lay out some of the ways that these predators do that. So it's a free PDF. It's on the website. It's under the guidelines tab. And we encourage everybody out there listening, if you haven't downloaded those guidelines and gone over them with your children, please do so. It's very important information. There's even a lot of information in there, helpful information for kids that have been abused. When they were younger, we expose some of the lies that are believed by kids that have been abused to help them realize that it's not their fault, help them understand why, you know, that maybe they didn't say no when they were young, and maybe why someone close to them that they trusted actually did this, and helping them understand that it's not their fault. Whole lot of great information in the protection guidelines. So we hope that you will download those. There's some eye-opening stats that will just, very sobering, going to blow your mind. The stats of child sexual abuse are increasing. The numbers are increasing. And actually, the rate that it's happening within the school system and within the churches and in the Boy Scouts, and it just seems like everywhere that kids are, there could be a problem. And so the importance of kind of knowing who your children are around, doing background checks, doing a free arrest inquiry, which most states have, just to kind of see if the person that your child is around maybe has a record. But don't solely rely on that, because the stats are that 88% of child predators have not been arrested. 88% have not been arrested. And that's pretty scary. But what that says to us is there's a lot of opportunity for education and awareness, right? Because if most of them haven't been arrested, that means it's up to the parents and the passionate protectors, the guardians out there, and other great organizations to spot and identify the warning signs and teach the kids the warning signs so that they can be safe. And that's where our mission really comes from. We know that there's a lot of different scenarios out there, and they're developing more and more all the time because of technology. TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, as Lexia was saying, not Alexa, Lexia, so we don't get in trouble. It's Lexia. She says, hey, you know what? All of these apps out there do not have age verification. They do not have identity verification. That means that anybody, adult, can create a profile as a child and just start talking to your kid. And kids have to kind of know what the warning signs are so they don't fall into those traps. And we go over that in our guidelines as well. So there's a lot of great information. Please visit protectyourchildren.org. And also consider supporting us in the work that we do. We are nonprofit. We don't make any money. We don't sell products. We rely solely on your donations to continue doing what we do. So we want to thank you in advance for that. All right, Bikers Against Child Abuse. BACA, B-A-C-A, Bikers Against Child Abuse. We have them coming on the line right now, and let's see if we can bring them on.
Hey, Christopher, can you hear us?
Yep, sure can. How you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you doing today?
Very good, very good. Thanks for being part of the show and teaching us about what you guys do. It's some pretty awesome work.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, and I'm trying to think how I came across you guys. It might have been on Facebook or through our Protect Children page or something, but
it was both. I actually reached out to you through the Protect Your Children webpage, and then I reached out to you on Facebook.
Right. And that was through Facebook. That's right. Okay, very
yes,
cool. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And so I do, again, want to thank you for being here. And this, we'll tell everybody listening that this show will be podcasted within a couple hours afterwards. So people can go to the website and they can listen to the podcast if anybody's not able to tune in tonight. So as we get started, can you, would both of you take a second and tell us why you got involved with BACA?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll let Mama Bear go first. She's actually one of our – she is our oldest member in this chapter, actually, as far as longevity. So,
hi, Christopher. My name's Mama Bear.
Hey, Mama Bear. I love the name.
Yes, I like when people mess with little cubs.
That's right. Mama Bear comes out.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. So how did you get involved with Bikers Against Child Abuse?
Well, unfortunately / fortunately, I am an adult survivor.
Mm-hmm.
My son, when he was 4, was violated at the babysitter's house. So when I found out about BACA, the closest center was Columbus. We live up in the snow belt, northeast Ohio, by the lake. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, well, then we'll just start one here. And that's basically what happened back in 2007.
Wow. No, that's like I said, it's a horrifying thing to have happen, but it sounds like you've taken that and you've taken the pain from that and the the hurt from that and the anger from that, and you've channeled it into something that's helping to keep kids safe. And that is what you call a survivor.
Unfortunately, it's something. Yeah, it's something that a victim lives with from pretty much most of their life. But
yes.
I've definitely been able to grow and heal by helping little kids have a voice.
Yeah, it's good therapy. It definitely is good therapy, you know. And
yes.
Thanks for sharing that. Bootstrap, how'd you get involved?
I got involved with the Erie Shores chapter, gosh, it's 3-4 years ago now. I actually had met them at a event that we do out here called Thunder on the Strip. It's an event where, you know, different motorcycle organizations go. There's vendors, stuff like that. And I'm an adult survivor myself. And I fell in love with the mission. I fell in love with what they did. I actually reached out to our international chapter and was requesting more information. And they hooked me up with the Erie Shores chapter. And just the more that I learned about what we do to help kids and the more that I learned about the mission, the more that I realized I could channel what had happened to me, kind of like Mama Bear mentioned, and put it to use,
yep.
Making sure that no child had to go through a situation like this alone.
Wow. No, that's fantastic. And, you know, similar to you guys' situation, I'm an adult survivor, and that's what kind of, you know, ignited my passion to get involved in this. And I'll tell you a funny thing. We had Protect Your Children went through a kind of a reformation. We were originally nonprofit business, for about 8 years, and then the economy tanked and the donations tanked, and we kind of went through this, you know. But I can tell you one thing. The biggest supporters that we had during that whole period of time were bikers. I kid you not. I kid you not. We used to do this thing called the Southern Rock Volunteer Jam. It was in Plant City, Florida, and we had all these musicians that came out, these, you know, doing all different kinds of music, and the bikers would come out, and they'd come out in mass. Let me tell you.
Yes.
And they were always huge supporters of us. And, you know, there's definitely a passion there, you know, that we love to see. And we're just excited to know that that you guys are out there and you're doing the work that you're doing. It's really a fantastic thing. And
yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate that. We tell people all the time that contrary to popular belief, you know, you see us all, you know, in our cuts and with our leather on, and people just see us as an intimidating force. And the biker community, in my experience throughout my whole life, has been one of the most compassionate and giving communities. I mean, I can't tell you during the summer where there's a weekend where there's not some type of charity event going on and there's not something that we're doing to help the community, you know, outside of our organization as well. So I definitely agree that it's, you know, we do, I think in the community of bikers, you don't mess with a child too. That's a pretty big thing. We all kind
yes.
of.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. See, that's the kind of passion, you know, and I think that's where there's a good teamwork that goes on there. You have people that are educating and making people aware, like as we do in many other organizations. And then you also have, you know, the sheer, like, look, you mess with a child and you're going to deal with people, right? Because you
yeah.
have to have kind of that combination. And how do you not? You know, when we do preparation for the show or when we're doing videos that we're producing online and stuff like that, we come across stuff. And I'll tell you, there's times where I'm like sitting here, like I'm ready to go. Like, I want to go find this scum. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, we're a family show, so we try to keep it clean, but let me just tell you, there's times where your head wants to explode, you know, but you have to keep that under control, and you got to keep the goal in mind and what the objective is. Right. And, but it certainly helps to know that, if you're messing with a kid out there, you're going to get what's coming to you. And if it's not,
right.
if it's not by, some bikers, you know what I mean? It's going to be in prison. And if it's not in prison, it's going to be in the afterlife, but either way it's coming, period.
I mean,
it,
how
right?
easy would it be to, you know, take care of the perpetrator, but then guess what? We end up in trouble and we're not there to help the kids anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, one of our biggest things that we have, it's actually in our mission statement, is that we don't condone the use of violence. However,
right.
if we need obstacle between that child and further violence, we will absolutely be that obstacle.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And for those of you tuning in now, we're talking with Bikers Against Child Abuse. We're talking with Bootstrap and Mama Bear. They are members of the Erie Shores chapter in Ohio, and they're letting us know about the great work that they do. And we're excited to have you on. And I'll tell you, there was a situation one time. We were printing some flyers up for a conference that we were holding. And I was in like FedEx, Kinko's, or whatever it was. And I'm getting the flyers back. And there happened to be a man standing next to me. And he glanced at the flyer and he went, "Oh, man, I told my kids if anybody ever touches them, I'll kill the person." And I looked at the guy kind of horrified. And he said, "What?" And I said, "You told your kids that?" And he said, "Yeah, they know. I'll destroy anybody." And I said, "You know, they're probably not going to tell you now." "Well, what do you mean?"
Right.
I said, "If you go out and you go after the person," I said, "now they know this. So now they're afraid they're going to lose you." Right? You know what I mean? And
right.
And I said, "You got to tell them that you're going to support them. You're going to believe them. You're going to protect them, but that you're not going to put yourself in trouble where you're going to get arrested." And now they've been victimized and they're going to lose their dad or their mom in the process. Right?
Right.
You know, it doesn't solve the problem. But like you said, sometimes if there's an immediate situation that warrants force, physical force or protection, you know, certainly you're going to provide it.
Absolutely.
Right. But that's a different scenario than going and hunting somebody out. And like Mama Bear said, putting your own future in jeopardy for that moment when you need to be there for your child and to support them and to protect them further into the future.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So how, if somebody wants to answer, how and when did BACA actually get started, like as an organization?
The starting chapter started in 1995. It was a child play therapist and a couple friends. And basically what they noticed is they would have kids that would come in for therapy. And when they would leave therapy, they would drastically regress. There would be no support. There would be fear in the home. There wouldn't be any type of support system outside of therapy. So they got the bright idea being bikers that, all right, we're going to get together. We're going to go meet this kid. We're going to take him for a ride. We're going to make him part of our little family. And they saw immediate benefits. You know, a lot of times you meet these kids, they're scared. They don't know how to be children anymore. You know, they're hiding behind mom, dad, or the guardian, what have you. By the end of the visit, you know, they're climbing all over us and they're high-fiving us and they're smiling and they're laughing and they're not scared anymore. And that's the only reason we do what we do, is to make that child not afraid, to make them, you know, happy and confident enough to be a child again. So that was the main idea in 1995 when we started. And that's the idea that we hold now across our international organization through all the chapters that we have in the States and in other countries.
Wow, that's fantastic. So we're looking at over 25 years ago, you know, and that's amazing. That's an amazing run, and it's a testimony to the heart and the passion, you know, that you all have, and the support that you receive as well, I would imagine, too. I mean, you couldn't do it without the support of the public and law enforcement and other agencies, I would assume, as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we work closely with state and local officials. And, you know, CPS and the public, you know, we rely a lot on the public to help us get information out to, you know, to know who we are, to get the hotline out so people can call. It's definitely a lot of, you know, within your own community that we try to do stuff, but then we're also trying to do stuff throughout the entire state. So, you know, if we didn't have support from anybody, we'd still be doing what we'd be doing because we're all dedicated to it, but we definitely wouldn't have the success that we do right now.
Also, being in the motorsports world, we have to have support from other MCs. We are not an MC. We are basically volunteers on motorcycles, nonprofit 501c3. But in order for us to be able to help the kids, the dominant motorcycle clubs have to allow us to do that. And like you said before, most, you know, bikers don't really take kindly to somebody hurting a child, so we are fortunate to have support from our local, because without them, we wouldn't be able to do it either.
No, absolutely. And that's really about the teamwork, you know, and I mentioned earlier in the show that, you know, we all, there's a lot of great organizations that are doing a lot of great work to protect kids. And I think the biggest weakness as a whole is that everybody's kind of separated, you know, and they're kind of doing their own thing. I mean, that's great in their areas, but if we come together, right, and we support each other, this is why we asked you to be on the show. You know, this is why we invite other not-for-profits and other organizations to come on the show, because we're trying to highlight the fact that there are a lot of great organizations out there that people have never heard of. I had never heard of ACA before. I had never heard of them, you know, and
Which is crazy, now I have.
And, you know, and after this, you know, hundreds more people are going to hear about it. So, you know, that's why we do what we do. So what are the main services that you provide?
So do you want to go over that?
So basically, we get our referrals from social workers, victims advocates, guardians that hear about us. And there's many things that have to exist in order for it to meet our mission. But main things are the child has to be in fear. There has to be a reported, documented complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And the guardian, whoever that may be, grandma, aunt, or the actual parents.
The state.
The state. They have to have custody of the child. And so when we get the referral, our child liaison gets all the information. She is the only one who knows any details about what happened to that child. None of us in the chapter care. We don't need to know what happened. We just know that a child was harmed and they were afraid. So we go out, we have an interview team. We go, like five of us go to meet this kid. And we talk about what we do. We're not there to, you know, be mom and dad or guardian. We're not there to be their best friend. We are there to help them to not live in fear. So once the kid is receptive and says, yes, I want Baca to be part of my life, then we organize a ride. It's called the adoption. We don't obviously legally adopt them, but we adopt
right,
them for
right.
our Baca. It's the whole chapter goes. So 30, 40 bikes show up at the kid's house. All of us, you know, scary looking bikers. And we give the child a vest, a cut. They have picked out their own road name. We give them a Baca blanket. We give them a Baca nightlight. And if weather permits and they are, you know, receptive, we take them for a ride on a motorcycle. They get to pick a motorcycle, you know, out of the group of bikes that are there, and we go for a ride. And then from that point, they are assigned two people. They're called primaries, a male and female, non-related. Mm-hmm. They have the phone number, and that child can call or text any time of the day. If they're scared, if they know that the perp is riding by the house, we will go out, stand outside the house all night long so that they can go to sleep. If they get an A on a test, they can call or text and say, hey, I got an A on my English test. Whatever that child wants to talk to the primary about. The only time we ever hear details about the abuse they endured is if they have to testify in court. If they have to testify in court, we all go to that as well. We escort them. We pick them up at their home if they want to escort them to court. They are surrounded by them. They don't go to the bathroom alone. They go nowhere. And they are able to stand up, give their victim's statement, their impact statements. They are able to turn around and look at their perpetrator and exactly what they feel. And it's even better when the perpetrator gets put away.
With that being said, though, we tell these, or we definitely don't ever let it be about the case being won. I mean, at the end of the day, we want the perpetrator to get what's coming to them, right? We want that perp to go away. But to us personally it might, but as an organization, it doesn't matter if that victim goes to jail, doesn't go to jail, if the court case doesn't go our way. What matters is we empowered that child to go into that courtroom to give their statement. Even if they don't testify, if we empower that child and they can laugh and they can play and they can be a child again, that is why That's the only reason we do what we do, is for that child to be safe and protected and happy and be a child again. So, you know, everything that we do it to empower them, to get them to that point in their life where they wake up in the morning and that's not the first thought that crosses their mind, where they can, you know, sleep through the night, where they know that they have there behind them. We like to tell the kids that we're scarier than your perp ever will be. You know, we like to tell them we're your scary brothers and sisters now.
No, that's fantastic. And you know what I was thinking about as you were describing that was, you know, a lot of the kids that get involved in gangs have been sexually abused and physically abused as kids, and they get driven, emotionally driven into these gangs where they feel powerful, right? And they're still really scared on the inside, you know, but they join these gangs to try to feel more powerful and feel like they've got brothers and sisters that are going to take care of them. And, well, usually we know how that ends up, you know, with these gangs. It's usually not a good situation. But what a great contrast to what you guys are doing, because then this child gets this whole – I mean, I can't imagine, like, 40 bikes just pulling up in front of the house. Like, I mean, you talk about feeling safe, knowing that you have – all these people that have your back, you know, and I think that goes a long way because they know that they have you, you know, they have the members, they have people that are safe, that are going to protect them and help them to conquer this trauma that they've been through. And that is, it's so very important because I think it goes a long way to helping to keep kids from going the other direction, right? Where they're just, I have to get around all these older people so I can feel like I'm safe now, you know? But they actually do have people that they can be around now, you know, and I think that's a great contrast.
Yeah.
So can you provide an example of a case where your organization has made an impact? I'm sure there's plenty of them, but is there one that kind of sticks out that, you know, that you can share?
Person who just bought a bike or – so obviously we're not going to use any names or anything, but I'm thinking of a particular where – they're one of our older Baca children, and they went through their court case. They went through everything. They were empowered, and they recently just bought a brand new trike, and they're riding around empowered, and they're in their own way advocating for Baca and posting about Baca and what we do, and they come to every event that we do, and they're just from who they were when they first came to Baca as a child to who they are now, it's two completely different people. I mean, that it's a shining example of that child being empowered, being a young adult now, and advocating for other people to learn about Baca and to utilize Baca if they need it. I mean, that's in my mind, that's probably one of the strongest examples I can think of.
Yeah, and what a fantastic one. Yeah. Go ahead.
He's an awesome young man. He actually put his perp away for, oh my goodness, I can't remember now because he was way back. I want to say 25, 50. I can't remember exactly how many years. But Bootstrap also touched on the fact that sometimes the kids don't get justice in court. We had a child who was in the custody of grandma, was scared to death to take a shower, would never leave, you know, grandma's side, and grandma was a frail little thing. His road name was Reaper, and he became a Baca child, and we sat in court with him for a whole week. He testified. He was rock solid in his testimony. The jury ended up being a hung jury, which means the perp walked.
Right.
The kid completely changed from, I mean, I remember it was on Thanksgiving and texted me and said, Reaper just took a shower. And I literally cried because a boy could finally take a shower without being scared. But it was a hung jury because when he was 7, he couldn't remember if he was being abused at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning or at night, or if it was the 21st of the month or the 22nd.
Oh,
so
gosh.
Yes. Because of reasonable doubt, you know, they could not convict this pedophile, but he was a changed kid from that moment on, regardless of the outcome of his trial.
Right. Well, because it provides closure, really, for these kids. I mean, I know that closure word is so loaded, you know. I mean, people act like it's, well, once you have closure, everything's all fine. And like you mentioned earlier, it does take time to heal, and sometimes it can take a lifetime, you know. But when they're able to confront the perpetrator and they're able to confront them and have the courage and the bravery to do that, I'll tell you, that that empowers a child, right, more than anybody can even imagine. Wow. Hmm. So you mentioned, like, so you sat in court for like a whole week, right?
Yes.
So how long generally would you say that you stay involved with a particular case?
Go ahead.
It's a little hard to give a general time frame because each case can be drastically different. When we bring a child in, we are that child's primary. We are that child's BACA family through the entire process. So if the court case takes a week, if it takes a year to get to that court case, if the court case never goes anywhere, we're part of that child's life. We're there for that child. So it really depends. I mean, we've gone and we've sat in court for one day and court's been over. We've sat in court for a week and court's been over. It really, whatever the situation dictates, we're in it for the long haul, though. You know, we don't really put a time limit on it. You know, we're there for when that kid needs us.
We have a statement. We tell them, once a BACA child, always a BACA child. However, the ultimate goal, obviously, is for them to say, you know what, I'm okay. I don't need you anymore. Not that they don't want us, you know, they don't need us because they're empowered. They're not afraid. They can sleep. They can go to school. They can do all the things they're supposed to do. And then that becomes, we call that, we graduate them out. It does not end contact with them. They are still allowed and able to come to our yearly parties. We hold a summer party in the summertime and a Christmas party at Christmas. And we have, then they're just strictly for BACA children, and we have them, they're allowed to come and still be with, you know, their old biker friends, even if they don't, you know, need us in that other capacity anymore.
Right. So they got friends for life, right?
Yeah.
And that's so important, you know, because the last thing you want them to think is, hey, we just came here to do this, and, well, it looks like you're okay now, so we're going to take off and leave, you know? And I would imagine you develop, you know, a trust with these kids, you know, and
right. The
last thing that they need is someone else walking out on them, right? Because a lot of these kids have already had that happen.
We tell a lot of our newer members when they first join that these kids have been let down by so many people in their life. We are the last ones. We should not be letting these kids down. We should be the ones, you know, we tell people, we give tell a kid something, we keep our word. We don't promise a child something that we cannot uphold, ever.
Right. We don't make
that promise. Yeah, it's so important. Go ahead, Mama Bear.
We don't make promises because, God forbid, if we promise no one's ever going to hurt you again and then somebody does, then, you know, obviously we failed. So we just say we're going to do our best to protect you and keep you safe and help you to not be afraid.
No, that's fantastic, and that's what they need to hear, just that reassurance that they're not alone. For those of you just joining, we're talking with Bootstrap and Mama Bear from BACA. That's the Bikers Against Child Abuse, and they're letting us know about the great work that they do. So let me ask, so what is the average, and this might be hard too, average age of a child that's involved in your cases? I mean, is there
anywhere?
An average age?
There's not an average age. I mean, we've had from birth all the way up to 17, 18 if the abuse happened when they were a child. You know, we dealt with a great difference in age gaps on children. So it's hard to put a number on it. It's hard to say, oh, we deal primarily with 16 and 17-year-olds. It's any child that needs us, that meets the requirements for the mission, we're going to help them. So it's another hard one to put.
Yeah, because we know that the stats and I'm sorry, go ahead, Mother.
No, I was going to say, you know, that, you know, one child in the household that reports or discloses abuse,
you know if there's other children in the household that that's eventually going to come as well.
Right.
So we
right. It's usually, yeah.
Right. All the siblings and everything, we make them feel that way as well, you know, that they can count on us as well.
Right. Because, I mean, we know the stats, you know, the general stats, you know, they're all over the board because of, you know, reporting and things like that. But generally, you know, if a child is under the age of 13, they're more likely to be abused. I mean, that's just what some of the stats are showing. But we know that a lot of times that doesn't come out, you know, until, you know, sometime later, you know. So if somebody's over 18, what happens then? So say a parent contacts you or they contact you, they're 19 or 20, and they say, hey, looks like I'm going to go ahead and pursue this. Are you guys there, or is this mainly for under 18?
It's under 18. What we'll sometimes do is we'll send members to the court to show support. But we are Bikers Against Child Abuse, so we do have to stay within that realm of children. So we definitely don't take in a case if the child's 19, 20. If they reach out, we point them in the right direction. Our child liaison has a wonderful book of resources and connections we picked up over the year. We can kind of direct them to where they can go to get help. And as I mentioned, if we have the members to spare, we will definitely try to send a couple people up or whoever can attend to go to court to show support, solidarity for that person. But yeah, most of our cases are, you know, 18 under, and we only take a child at 18 if the abuse happened when they were a child.
Right. Okay, cool. So it sounds like there could be a lot of different scenarios. So what's the general criteria that determines the urgency or level of intervention? I was on your site and I saw that there was, you know, different levels of intervention. What's something that determines the urgency or level of the intervention in a particular case?
It's fear. Yeah, fear, I think, is the biggest thing.
An existing threat.
So an example of that is early on when I first joined, we had a child that was going to court, and we got a call the night before where the child was convinced that the perp was driving up and down the street in front of their house, and they couldn't sleep. They had court the next day. We got together, and we sent members up there, and we had members there, I want to say it was like 11 o'clock at night, all the way through the morning to court, and then those members, we were rotating out on shifts, but then members came back, we picked the child up, we took them to court, and we escorted them to help squash that fear to help them feel safe. So typically that would be what we would call level 2, and when we actually have to go and stand guard at the child's house. It's all going to be, like Mama Bear said, fear-based. When we first take the case, there's nothing really that dictates the priority for one BACA child over another. You know, we're there for the BACA children from day one when we take the case. From there, it's case-by-case scenario, whether they need us to come out and show a physical presence at the house overnight or whether they need us to come out and do a special visit.
Wow. That's phenomenal. And, you know, part of the reason why we're asking this, because there may be people out there, you know, that say, hey, maybe I want to contact BACA. You know, I think we might have a situation, and I think this is very informative for them. You know, we would receive, you know, emails all the time for situations and things that we just don't deal with. You know what I mean? It's, you know, I think my ex is abusing my 4-year-old, and we just got divorced, and I want, you know, and I'm like, sorry, if you think there's abuse, here's who you can contact, you know. So understandably, you kind of have to filter things out, you know what I mean? And, but certainly, you know, the fact that you have a system set up where you can really identify, you know, if there's, like you said, there has to be a documented report and there's other steps that need to be taken to verify a legit situation. You know, it's very important. So,
absolutely.
So generally, is it full-time or part-time? For members,
this is a full time thing. This is not. I have people ask me that question all the time, and I tell people that this is full time. I don't know. BACA has become pretty much my life. I wake up. I live, breathe, eat, sleep BACA. I'm doing BACA when I'm not working. While I'm at work, I do BACA. It's definitely a full time gig. Our members, they put forth a great amount of effort to show up, and we spend hours upon hours upon hours of time and dedication doing this. So this is definitely not something you can do part-time. You cannot be 1 foot in, 1 foot out with this. This is both feet in, jumping in the deep end of the pool.
And right. And is everybody volunteer, or is like the leadership, is it all volunteer?
Yeah, we're completely nonprofit. None of our members make any money or anything of that nature. Every penny that we raise goes directly back to the child in some way, whether it's buying the materials that we give them on their adoption or paying for the summer party where they can come and hang out with other Baca children and be safe. None of us take home anything from this other than what these kids do for us as members. You know, I sometimes think that these kids do just as much for us as we do for them.
Absolutely. They want us to be involved. So they're not only opening up their voice and saving other children from potential abuse that they already endured, but they're allowing us to help them because they could say, no, I don't want any car to those bikers. And then, of course, you know, we would not be able to help them. So they have to be strong. I mean, they're just amazing heroes. They are amazing, amazing. That bothers me that there's more public outcry for the abuse of animals than there is for the abuse of babies, because it's just an unnecessary evil.
About that the other day, you know, where there seems to be stiffer penalties for someone who abuses a dog, you know, than there is a child. And that's a whole nother show, but no, I share your frustration in that. It's like, that could be a whole nother thing, you know. So how is Baca mainly funded? Is there grants, or is it corporate, or is it personal donations? How is it funded?
We have a team that looks for grants. We do apply for grants from the state, from local counties, from businesses. We also do fundraisers with the general public. You know, we have a steak dinner that we do every year. That's probably our biggest fundraising event. Where people can buy tickets, they come in, they get cooked to order steak, they get, you know, a meal, they get a chance to do a 50-50, a blind auction, things of that nature.
Right.
And then we have donations. You know, people donate money at awareness events that we do. They donate money. We'll just get checks sometimes in our P.O. box, people that just want to support our mission and what we do.
That's incredible. And I'll tell you, 25 years out there listening, ladies and gentlemen, 25 years. This is a legit organization, and I think that you would benefit greatly for people to definitely look into more of what you guys do and spread the word. You know, we've had some great response. We've been promoting this for the last 3 or 4 days, and I'll tell you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. You know, so I mean, it's fantastic. There's definitely an excitement to know that an organization like yours is out there, and we're just thrilled to have you on. So have you had any, this is a good question now, have you had any situations where physical force had to be used? I know you don't condone it, but has there actually been a situation where, you know, you had to get involved physically?
Yeah. We escorted, it was in court, the child had to go to the bathroom. We took her to the bathroom, and the family of the perp were trying to go into the bathroom as well, and we physically stood in the way for them to not be able to go in the bathroom until she was finished. And it's an open bathroom with different stalls. It wasn't just a one person bathroom, but we physically stood in the and did not let them go in because they knew they were going. You know, we knew they were going in there just to harass her or worse. So, yes, we have had to get physical obstacles to protect the child.
Wow. I don't know how you stay calm in that kind of situation. Because honestly, you know, like the child's already been harmed enough, and now you're going to try to go in there and harass them and try to get them to change their testimony or whatever.
That's how we say knowing that that child is behind us, knowing that we're standing for that child, that we have to. In the circumstance, we can't let that child know that there's anything crazy going on. You know, we remain calm because we know that at the end of the day, that child's going to see. Children are more intelligent, and they pick up on more than people realize. So we try our hardest to not let them get any inclination of anything of that nature happening.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And law enforcement is very familiar, locally with us as well.
And when we go into court, they are very receptive. All of the people, when we have to get wanded in and empty all our pockets and all that stuff, they're very receptive. And then while we're waiting, you know, while we're sitting in the courtroom, they're pretty much near us as well. So we know that they have our back if something were to transpire.
Yep, and you just answered my next question. You know, that was, I was going to ask if you work with local, state, and federal authorities, and it sounds like you do. They're very familiar with you guys. And,
absolutely.
And you mentioned you get referrals from them, and that's fantastic. For anybody joining in now, we're talking with Bootstrap and Mama Bear from Bikers Against Child Abuse. And so we got just a few minutes left, and I want to say, how do you, number one, how do you find bikers that want to be involved? How does that happen? Do you guys go out there and look, or do they contact you? How does that happen?
They see us out at local events, or they see, there are some YouTube videos and stuff, but I think it's more just our physical presence in the area. We ride, most of us are bikers that ride even when we're not going to help a child, and we wear that. So I could ride to Walmart with my cut on, and you know, people see that. So they usually reach out to myself and ask how they can get involved. Our state constitution does not allow law enforcement to be in BACA. We work very well in conjunction with law enforcement, however, because of the world in which we are a part of, law enforcement cannot be involved in BACA. But so that's the first prerequisite, is they cannot be in law enforcement. And then we invite them to a meeting, and you know, if they think it's something that they'd be interested in, then the real work begins, and it's a long, long process to become a member of BACA.
And even once,
right, I would imagine you do your due diligence and make sure that they're upstanding, legit people, and
yes,
they're not trying to get involved for the wrong reasons. Absolutely.
Absolutely. They have to pass an NCIC background check, so that's national, not just your visa. And then we also have a SACWIS check that is through Children's Services. So the NCIC background check will just show if you've ever been convicted. And, of course, some members have records, but not, you can never have record anything that where it was domestic violence or, you know, child abuse or anything like that. The SACWIS check that's done through Children's Services tells if you've ever been accused, you know, like your neighbor calls up and says, or, you know, calls Children's Services and says, you know, they're beating their kids out in the front yard or something like that. That will show up on a SACWIS check.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
Whether it goes further. So it's like a double check when we run backgrounds.
Right,
and then
so
even
we got a minute left in the show, and I just want you to get out there. What is the website that people can go to, and also the hotline number that people can call if there's a situation?
So the website is going to be www.bacaworld.org, and that's
bacaworld.org. Okay.
Yep.
And that's bacaworld.org. Okay, and then what is the hotline number if people need to get in contact?
Our local hotline number, or?
So if somebody has a situation and there's a hotline and they needed to get hold, is there several numbers for that, or can they can go to bacaworld.org and they can reach out through there?
Well, yeah, I mean, they can definitely reach out through bacaworld.org. So for any – I know that this radio show and the podcast goes out, you know, nationally. So if you go to bacaworld.org, you can actually choose the chapter that's in your area, and then you can find information for the specific chapter. So if there's people in Pennsylvania that are interested or that think they have a case, you know, the people in Ohio, that's
right,
you can find
right.
this. I can
that's
give
awesome.
You
– So bacaworld.org. All right. Well, I want to thank you for being part of the show. You guys have been fantastic, and we're going to get the podcast out in about an hour or two, and hopefully we can chat again sometime in the near future.
Oh, absolutely.
That
I'm actually,
would be amazing.
I'm going to print off a couple of your PDFs to take to our next meeting. We're going to
yes.
talk about recognizing the signs of sexual abuse and a lot of the good information that you have that we've already looked at in one way or another, but kind of refreshing on that.
Awesome. No, that's greatly appreciated. We can work together, and together we can accomplish the mission of protecting children. So we thank you again for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you for having us very much.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Take care now. Stay vigilant, stay vigilant and keep protecting.
Absolutely.
Stay strong.
Right, thank you.